Hey, besties. It's been a while. I know. Don't yell at me. Welcome back to I'll Drink to That. Season 2, I guess. I don't know. I took a very long hiatus, okay? But we're back. We're going to attempt to be back, okay? I have a few interviews that happened. And then here's the thing. I paused because of the WGA strike. Solely because in these podcast episodes, we talk about like what people are binge watching, and we talk about pop culture, and we talk about television and film, and it felt not right for me to be talking about things, especially things that are like that were currently paused because of the strike. So I paused as well, and all of a sudden, and then the strike ended, and all of a sudden time totally went faster than I thought it was going to. So we're here. We edited a podcast. This podcast I'm very excited about. It was recorded last year, literally like June of 2023, right before the strike. And June, something like that. Anyway, this is Binta. Binta and I worked at Telsey. We'll talk a little bit more about that. The Telsey casting office. Telsey office. And Binta was a casting director for the TV film department. So that's another reason why I like had to pause with, you know, we talk a little bit about that. But enjoy. I hope you learn lots from a wonderful casting director. And yeah, welcome back to I'll Drink to That. I always forget she speaks to you.
I know. I'm traumatized.
I like do it.
Triggered.
Jeez. I hope she's getting paid. Like, I hope whoever that is gets, although it sounds like a robot. Like, it actually sounds like not a real person versus like Siri, where Siri is like.
Yeah, like an actual person.
An actual person.
Yeah, the robot does not need money.
Zoom should do the thing. Do you have Waze?
Yeah.
Okay, you know how Waze, you can, like, have Cookie Monster give you directions?
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to choose so you can have, like, the Jonas Brothers being like, hey, you're recording.
Fully.
Now.
It's untapped potential as far as just, like, getting free money, basically.
Well, this is a great way to start the podcast. I'm here with Binta.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Claire, when was the last time that we saw each other? Like,
before the Panini Press.
Gosh.
That is crazy. It was the semester before because my semester didn't get cut short.
Got it. Okay.
Because I was in the fall of 2019.
That's right. I didn't even think about like the semester being cut short. Wow.
Yeah, because we were trying to figure out, okay, for people who don't know, it's now called the Telsey office, but Telsey and Co. used to do this little internship where students could, who were in the arts, right? It was in the arts, I guess?
Yeah,
or I guess. You could apply. you could like do this little internship if you got it. And we spent a whole entire semester working at the Telsey office, which is just this little itty bitty startup casting company.
Yes, itty bitty is exactly right.
Yeah. We didn't really work together much though. You and I didn't.
No, yeah, because I was in the on-camera department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't in your section.
Yeah, so I definitely saw you running around like a busy little bee, but not many interactions. Yeah,
no, I did a lot of setting up and breaking down. That was good. I definitely know how to use a tripod now.
That was actually, so I was one of the few like staff members who did not start as an intern at the office. So like that was something I was always like very unsure about, like the equipment, like all of that stuff. Like I never really learned like how to like, you know, set up a room, like how to operate the cameras and stuff like that, because like my experience before the office was mostly like sitting in the room, but I wasn't like the camera off.
Doing the
so like yeah. yeah so like seeing y'all do that, I was like, y'all are heroes. If you put me in a room with that equipment, I would simply just stand there and cry.
I
So.
think the most stressful thing was when you got stuck with the bro. We had like two broken tripods, I think, that never actually really stayed. Like we had to tape it so that it wouldn't like
Oh my
slide
God,
down
tape it.
slowly.
Oh,
We had
yikes.
those. I forget if they were like with the on, because it depended on what camera you used. It was
Sure,
like there were different
sure.
cameras for different things. You had the musical theater camera, musical theater
Right.
plays camera, and then you had your on-screen cameras. And I think it was an on-screen camera, but sometimes if all of the
Yikes.
musical theater were like using up the other cameras, you had to use the on-screen if there was like nothing happening. Oh my gosh, that was stressful. That
Sounds stressful.
and the Zoom, I don't know, like I had a camcorder. Was it even a camcorder? I don't know. It wasn't like
It's like you had
as a kid, like I had like one of those like you know, like
a
a carry, but I don't remember the
camcorder?
Zoom being as quick. Like some of those cameras, their zooms were like whoosh.
No, literally, like that when I started finally like using the cameras, that was the thing that threw me off the most, especially when you were trying to like capture like the actor who was moving, like, you know, as they should, like use the space, whatever. But I was just like trying to fold them and zoom in if they were like whatever, and I was just like, ah, this looks like a horror film.
The worst was when they would choose to, I mean, like choose to sit if you're gonna sit. Love a choice. But then they would like stand up out of the blue. And
Horrible,
I'm over here like,
horrible.
I don't know what your monologue is. I don't know what's going on. And they make this bold choice to stand up. And I'm like, well, now I've cut your head off. So
Right, now
give me
I'm
a
fighting
second
for
to
my
figure
life.
that out.
Yeah, truly in the trenches.
It was great though. 10 out of 10 would recommend doing an internship at a casting company. Okay, wait. So,
Absolutely.
welcome to I'll Drink to That.
Thank you.
What are you sipping on tonight?
I'm sipping on this nice little mango smoothie from
Trader
Trader Joe's.
Joe's.
A nice little TJ's moment. It's refreshing. It is so tasty and it is super cheap because it's from Trader Joe's. So,
We love Trader Joe's in this house.
indeed.
I'm sipping on some tea because
Good. What kind? What flavor or
this is
profile,
the,
I guess?
is it Twinings or Twinings? I don't even know. It's Earl Grey though.
Love an Earl Grey moment. I've never said the company's name out loud and I will keep to that.
It's someone's gonna be from the UK and they're gonna be like, what did you
Or
just do?
alternatively, this is your opportunity for some SponCon, you know, get on board.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I love some Earl Grey. Usually I put some cream in it. Sorry to the people who are like, why would you put cream in your tea?
No, I'm totally with that. I'm totally with that.
Anyway, welcome to I'll Drink to That. That's literally the only question that I ask about your drink. I always tell people that.
Yes.
But if you ever want to actually feel like say that you're gonna sip the tea, then I mean, if you spill enough tea, we'll sip to it.
There we go.
Okay, so Binta and I, as we said, we met at Telsey, and you do the casting thing professionally. That's, well, freelance. That's your gig.
I freelance. You know, I do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I've mostly now trying to transition into coaching,
Coaching by Benta.
because yes, that's kind of that was my takeaway when I was thinking about like what I liked about casting and what I liked about, you know, or how I felt like I could contribute my skills like to the industry. And I was like, you know, the thing that I love the most about casting is working with the actors and being in the room and watching them take adjustments and coming up with adjustments. And I was like, well, yeah, I can just do that. And that is coaching. So yeah, I started coaching by Binta last July, so it'll almost be a year now, which is crazy. And it's truly like some of the happiest moments that I have is getting to work with actors, like, you know, whether it's preparing for an audition or just looking at the material in their rep, or if it's career coaching, if it's looking at old self tapes and, you know, me giving them feedback on it. Like it's all like deeply aligns with, you know, what I love about working with actors and what I love about casting. So it's very exciting.
It's interesting because I was not in, I had never coached anyone. I have no reason to coach anyone to, but I did the casting thing. Mm-hmm. And then I got back to school because I was a sophomore at the time. So I got back mm-hmm. to school. And then, of course, the world shut down.
Uh-huh.
But I took this audition workshop class that's required. I'm a BFA musical theater, if people don't know that already. I ended up, befriending that professor. And then I started, like, coaching with her. I was doing, mm. I was, like, the TA for the next 3 years until I graduated. So we did a lot of Zoom stuff, which I wish I had been able to work more with you on screen, because I was like, that's basically what we're doing. You guys are gonna be great with your self tapes.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoy the coaching process too, because it's fun seeing people have big breakthroughs.
Yeah,
like that's the best thing ever.
It really is. Like, that is truly, like, it gives me chills every single time. It's something that is so funny to me, the how emotional it makes me, because it really is just, like, you know, so much, I feel like so much of what actors are concerned about is, like, you know, trying to make it and trying to have the best reel and trying to have the best connections and, you know, making yourself, like, visible, like, by whatever means necessary. And I feel like every time I get to work with actors, it's like this opportunity to really just focus on the craft and focus on mm-hmm. like, you know, exploring different texts and seeing what journeys that they can go on. And, like, you know, I feel like every single session that I have, it ends up being somewhat of like a like a therapist session because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's what you're bringing to the character. And so, like, we end up asking, you know, going into conversations about, like, well, how would you do it? Like, how do you feel? How do you respond? Like, how are you connecting with the text? And so I end up learning so much more about these people that I'm working with. And it's thrilling. It's thrilling.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's I also love working. I do mostly acting through song work mm-hmm. with folks. And my favorite thing is, of course, everyone has their songs. I mean, like, there are songs in musical theater that everyone does, right?
Absolutely.
But my favorite thing is when people do bring in the same song and I'm like, did we see how different that was? Mm-hmm. Because you have such a different connection to what's going mm-hmm. on and what, you know, my other favorite, I mean, like, especially with musical theater, if a word is supposed to be emphasized, most of the time it goes up with the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had some people who have come in with the sections that are, like, or, like, we're working on the whole song, so we're working on the bridge, we're working on, like, the lower, more talky sections.
Mm.
The way that they emphasize different words, because that sentence just means something different to them.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I never, ever would have thought of it that way. It was insane. Right. Anyway, that was just, it's, like, so interesting seeing, and that's why I liked the whole casting aspect too, was watching
mm-hmm.
people come in and show a completely different version of the same 32 bar cut that we've seen for 4 hours straight.
Exactly.
That was refreshing.
No, for real. Like, I know, like, during, you know, and, you know, for the offices that I've worked in since the shutdown, like, I haven't had, like, any in-person auditions. Like, it's all been via Zoom. And, like, because of that, you know, like, I don't know if you've noticed this or from, like, yourself or your peers, but, like, there's been such a huge what am I trying to say? We've just, you know, I feel like there have been so many more self-tape requests that have been sent out than, like, normally.
That's, like, all I do.
Exactly. So I feel like, you know, we've been sitting, like, watching so many more tapes than we normally would. And so it really can become so draining watching, like, you know, 100 tapes of the exact same scenes, whatever, whatever. So, like, those moments when, like, an actor really takes, like, a strong, you know, a strong choice and like really goes in a different direction. Like it really makes them stand out. And sometimes it's for worse, but most times it's for the best. So yeah, it's really awesome to be a like a part of that process, you know, to get them to that tape and like having the experience that I have in casting and knowing how to like look at audition slides and know like what are the parts that casting is going to be looking at, like what are the parts that are like the really big beat shifts that like you're going to want to like emphasize, you know. I just feel like I came to coaching so prepared for, you know, how to best help actors and artists in general. So that's really exciting to like be able to, you know, keep my skill set, like, or to be able to make like the best use of my skill set.
Yeah, and I've learned whenever I always say, okay, tell me what you're doing. You're gonna do it. I'm just gonna see what you've worked on. Hopefully they've worked on it by the time they've gotten to me. The first question I ask is, do you love this song? Like, do you love, as whoever you are, like, do you love this? Because if you don't love it, then you should, there's no point in you doing it. It doesn't make sense. It obviously doesn't align with something. I get it, you know, if, I don't know, someone gave it to you in high school and you loved it then, you've overworked it. Like, it's been 10 years and you're still singing the same song. Maybe let's try a new one. Let's find a new
Yeah, maybe.
Same with monologues. Like, if it's the same monologue, let's do another one. There are so many monologues about the same thing because
So
it's a
many.
human experience. Everyone, you know. Okay, so casting, coaching my Benta. We'll put all of that in the little your little thing. It's not
Thank you,
YouTube
thank
anymore. I
you.
don't do YouTube anymore, so I can't say in the box
Right.
below.
In the
In the description.
description.
Okay, so tell me what you're binge watching right now. What are you into right now?
I was driving back home. I was working with my best friend out of her home today, and I was driving back and I was just like, I need to be prepared for this question because I know it's going to be asked. And still, I'm like, you know, the last thing that I binged was Queen Charlotte, which was so utterly fabulous. It took my breath away. Like, it truly was Shonda Rhimes, like, at her peak. And I thought the cast was so brilliant. I thought the story was so engaging, especially for it being like both a prequel and a spin-off of the Bridgerton franchise. Like, it's so exciting, and I love seeing young new talent who are just like a take off in such exciting ways. So yeah, me and my roommate like ate that shit up. Oh, I'm allowed to curse, right?
You can curse. There's a little, I'll put the little expletive sign.
Yes, much appreciated. But yeah, we loved it. I loved it so much. I was truly like shocked by how much I loved it. Have you watched it yet?
Okay, no, full disclosure. I haven't even finished season two of Bridgerton.
Season two?
Girl, I, yeah. It's.
The best season. Oh.
I did watch, okay, I've been telling people this, which people find really funny. I did watch the first season. My mom and I binged it together, not having a clue
So brave,
what it
so
was. I
bold.
know. First 5 minutes was such an awesome time for me. And that's quite literally, I mean, I remember a lot about the show, but if anyone brings up Bridgerton, I'm like, yeah, I watched it with my mother.
Mean, to be fair, I also did watch it with my entire family. And me and my sister would like were texting during like some of the sex scenes, and she's like, "You have the remote, change, like fast forward." And now she's like, "No, we are adults. We're going to power through." And then I was just like, "I made a mistake. I should have." And we sure did fast forward through some of those sex scenes, but like the sex scenes are so good. Intimacy choreographer pop off, like
Absolutely.
gorgeous, stunning work.
But I am also the person who I have to really be in the mood to like start watching, especially a Shonda, like just a Shondaland show in general. I started Grey's Anatomy for a bit there. There, I mean, there, it's it, they have some seasons, they have multiple seasons, and I'm still
Seasons.
I'm still like, I'm like almost to season 9, and this is my first watch through ever. And I get to the point where my issue is, I try and binge watch it, which I know some people can do.
Mm-hmm.
But Grey's Anatomy is so deep sometimes that I'm like, I've watched 2 episodes and now I have to take a month off.
Yeah, so, like I simply must retire.
Yeah. Although the other day I did pass by Sarah Ramirez and I think I almost lost my brain.
They walked
crossing the street. It was like 3 seconds left, so they just made it. Walk, and I'm like on my phone. I look up and they're literally walking. I don't know where they're going. They're like rushing.
Mm-hmm,
and then our walk sign changes, and I literally had to go, yes, your foot moves now. Because I was like, oh my God.
Literally.
Could have just like,
especially you
away.
in the thick of Grey's, like not even getting into like the. And just like that, or like even the MT stuff, if at all. Ugh,
I mean, I love them. I have seen them and Just Like That. I saw the first season of that because my friend's parents were like binge watching it while I was over at their place. So I got bits and pieces of that. I never really watched Sex and the City. My mother did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always the.
Yeah,
you can't be down here when we're watching this because I was dialed when
you're right.
I was watching that. But I have seen the movies. I do know the characters for the most part. But I do remember
them. I don't
them.
Know anything about that show.
And Just Like That? Or just like Sex and the City
in
general?
Sex and the City. Like, I've never seen a single episode.
I feel like it's like... This will tell you how much I watch television. Gossip Girl. It's kind of like Gossip Girl. I adhere, Kristen. I feel like it's like Gossip Girl, but like instead of, or I guess it could be Bridgerton-esque because she's writing a blog. Like,
right.
It's like it's just her writing the blog, but you're watching it while she's like, and they have the beginning and the end. She asks a question at the beginning. Or Grey's Anatomy does that too.
Right.
I guess it's just one of those.
Right.
Kinds of arcing of shows.
Yeah, I feel like I missed my opportunity to get into it and enjoy it. I feel like if I tried to watch it now, it would just like make me annoyed, or it would make me uncomfortable, or it would make me angry. So
it's all of the above, like, because it did not age well at all.
Exactly,
a lot of the things did not age well, and I think my issue. Sorry, people who like And Just Like That. I feel like they tried to fix everything in that first season.
Trying to right a lot of wrongs, and like, God bless, I get it. Like, they knew what they were doing, trying to like put that show into today's like world. But yeah, it was not enough for me to be convinced that I needed to tune in and like catch up and then tune in. But like, God bless, if you watch it and enjoyed it, love that journey for you.
Oh yeah, totally. Are there any like movies that you're excited about that are coming out, or like movies that you see that you're like, yes, I'm not a movie person, so I'm not gonna know anything. But
yeah, I just saw a screening of Past Lives, the Celine Song, debut. She wrote and directed it. It's Greta Lee, who's playing the lead of that movie. It's this really beautiful story about Korean family that immigrates to Canada, and Greta Lee's character moves to New York, and it's kind of following her as she's like continuing her life and adjusting into like a Western world, while still like she ends up being reconnected with a part of her past through her childhood best friend who she loses touch with when she leaves Korea, and they reconnect like 12 years later. And so it becomes like this kind of piece of her past that like they kind of like build their relationship back up together. And it's like seeing kind of like what could have been like if she had been with him, if like she ends up getting married to like this white guy, and like seeing how their relationship is. It's this really beautiful, like soft, like, you know, talky movie, and I just like I eat that shit up. So I really, really loved it. It comes out June 2nd, I want to say. So keep an eye out for that. And then I also watch anime, and there's this one movie that I saw twice in theaters. I loved it that much. Called Suzume. By the director who did Your Name, if anyone was a big fan of that one. But it's this really amazing, stunningly beautiful, like fantasy story about like these people who basically are responsible for making sure that Japan doesn't get destroyed by these like creatures who live like under like the island basically. And this girl who kind of like happens upon it and then has to help like this one guy with saving Japan. And that's like a very, very vague description of the movie. There's a lot more that goes into it. But it was beautiful and I love this story. It talks a lot about like grief and kind of the ways that we can be there for ourselves in our own lives, and like the, you know, kindness of strangers and the help that we get along the way in life. And it was just really, really beautiful, and definitely I'm definitely glad I saw it in theaters because it the imagery was stunning. So yeah, those are two movies that I've watched recently that I really loved.
There are those movies that you like have to see in theaters. Like it's a requirement. I feel like anime is one of those. I don't watch anime. I've never, I mean, I've seen things, but it's not something I usually, it's just not the art form that I usually watch. But I feel like, I mean, anime is stunning. Like a lot of what I've seen of anime is absolutely gorgeous. So I seeing it on a big screen, I feel like is a must. I say
It
that
really
about
is. It
like all Marvel movies. I actually really don't love movie theaters, but I always say that if a Marvel movie comes out, I will be seeing it in theaters because I feel like watching it on your television at home, even though I have Disney Plus, it's not the same.
It really isn't.
It
It
really
really
isn't.
isn't.
I made the mistake of not seeing Shang-Chi
Oh,
in theaters. I think I
dang.
just missed. I don't remember why I didn't see that. I guess I just decided I wasn't going to. And that one I didn't see in theaters, and I didn't see Black Widow in theaters. Those are the ones.
Black
But I'm
Widow, I
also
feel like
very new to
that's fine.
Marvel.
That's right. I remember you talking us talking about that together.
Yeah.
Black Widow, I feel like it's fine that you saw that one at home. But Shang-Chi was really, really cool to see in theaters. I actually went, there's what is it called? It's like E something, but it's something that the LA Times does. It's like they have like food trucks and like different sponsors and vendors, and then they do like a screening of a movie like at a park. And I went to one when they were playing Shang-Chi. So I like got to like see it like up the screen in the park, like under the stars. It was really, really dope.
I don't remember. I think I finally bit the bullet and watched Shang-Chi one day when I didn't actually have time. Like, of course, all these other days, I was like, I have so much time, I could watch Shang-Chi right now. And I watched it to the point, I think, where I finished it and I ran out the door. That was like, wherever I was going, I had to leave. But I was like, you know what? I have enough time. I have just enough time
Oh,
to watch
man.
this. But I didn't start. I was not a Marvel fan until WandaVision. And then I was like, okay, I guess I have to watch this because I won't understand anything that's happening in WandaVision. So I was watching all of the movies simultaneously in between the weeks of WandaVision.
Oh
Plus the fact I think I started watching WandaVision by the time they were airing episode 4. So I
my
also had to watch the first 4 episodes.
gosh.
It was a lot. I still have only probably gone through like 50 or 60% of all of Marvel. So a lot of it I did watch on my television. But the other a few weeks, I say a few weeks ago, it was definitely like last year in the fall. Lin-Manuel Miranda did he does the screenings at the PDAP,
Yeah.
and they did Black Panther. One of
Oh, nice.
the actresses was there to do a little talk back. But that was
Oh,
the first
nice.
Black Panther is my favorite out of all of the ones that I've seen. So that was really fun to get to see that
Oh, yeah.
on a big screen. And
Oh,
I think
yeah.
they just did, you know how they do, like, I know they do it a lot with Harry Potter, but they'll do the orchestrations like
Oh, yeah.
live. I think they just recently did that somewhere in the city because I saw like an ad for it, but for Black
Very
Panther,
cool. Right.
which I
That's
think
really
would
dope.
be really cool to go and see.
It would be.
Okay, so you live in LA.
I live in LA.
Are you like bi-coastal or are you just in LA now?
No, I'm just in LA, solidly a West Coast girly now, and I'm proud of it.
So I've been to LA once. For I did an on-screen study abroad. It was obviously not very abroad, but I did like a study abroad for 2 weeks during J term. Had a lot of
Wow, 2 weeks.
fun. I kind of got the LA experience, but like not really.
Yeah.
I did ride on the little scooters. I hate the scooters.
Oh, you'll never see me
But I was
on
gonna say, since you are now a West Coast girly,
Yeah.
what's the best thing to do in the area? If
Oh,
someone's
I'm just.
visiting and you're like, okay, so you have to do this and this and this.
When my friends have come to visit me, I always like to take them to my favorite like outlooks, where you can like see a lot of the city.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I either take them to like the Palos Verdes cliffs, or I recently went closer to me is the Baldwin Hills outlook, and both of them offer like most stunning views of like surround views of Los Angeles. So definitely like I take them there. I usually like to take them on like I mean, I guess I don't plan for it, but like I think I would plan to like take them on my favorite highways that have really good views as well. Like my favorite highway, I think it's the, which one is that? I think it's either the, I don't know why. I feel like it's like something ending with a five. It's like, hold on. I will look this up because I'm like, I don't wanna like speak on the wrong highway because some highways are terrible. Yeah, it has to be either the 134 or I think it is the five. And maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit of the 110 too. It depends on which path I take. But some of those, like, I love the views of just like driving and seeing like the mountains and the mansions in the mountains and like all the things. Like driving is like an essential part of LA. So like I feel like you have to do a little like
You have
we're
to make
gonna
it
sit in the
fun.
car, and just drive around. And in and out. You have to go to in and out multiple times if possible.
I have eaten an In-N-Out once.
Oh my God. I would die for in and out. Like fully, completely, like would put my life on the line for in and out.
I'm someone who my like eyes are bigger than my stomach kind of person. And I remember the first time I got In-N-Out, I think I just ordered like a cheeseburger or something and fries, and it came and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is so much food for me." I don't normally finish every single fry, and I ate all of it. I was like, it was gone. It was completely gone, and both of my parents were like,
It is genuinely a perfect portion size because it does look like a lot of food and it is, but because like every time I eat it, it like completely fills me up, but I
oh,
eat
absolutely. You're
every
like,
single
I don't
bit.
need to eat for another 5 days. I'm set.
Exactly. Oh gosh, you make me want
I thought, okay, wasn't In-N-Out supposed to move east? Wasn't that supposed to be a thing?
That's crazy to hear. I have never heard that before. I mean, I would support it, but I feel like it's also so deeply like
It's
West
so,
Coast. Like,
right, it
it should just stay
is.
here. It should just stay here. Sorry to the East Coast. Like, y'all have, I don't know. I don't, I like, I'm a big burger girly. So, like, I like to, like, think about like my rankings of like places that I like to get burgers from, and like In-N-Out is truly like my number one. And I feel like I really do love a burger from Red Robin.
Oh, that
I
was so left
love.
field. I would
I
not
know.
have.
I'm from Virginia, and I just like every time I go home, I do really crave like a Red Robin burger. Like those things just hit. Oh, they're so good. Every time I've had one, it was just like the perfect burger.
I mean, I love an In-N-Out burger. I've only had it once, though. So I can't, I don't actually, I just remember liking it a lot. And I liked the sauce and the portions of like everything on the burger, you know? And so when I got home, I of course was looking for something that was similar. And I actually have no idea what, there's a place, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. And there's a place called Rush's.
I don't
And
know it,
that's
but
the closest thing to an In-N-Out burger that I have found. But the other thing is, it's my memory of what an In-N-Out burger is, you
Sure,
know? So,
that's
like,
true.
I could probably, if you set both of them next to me, I would be like, these are the most opposite things in the world. But when I got home, that was a burger that I had. And I was like, no, these are actually very close. So, that's so whenever I was like craving In-N-Out, I would be like, let's go to Rush's because they have the fry, like you can get the fries, you can get the burger, it's, you know, a whole thing.
I
Very good.
also really love a burger and fries from Checkers or like Rally's, if that's like the other one. Like their
I know
burger's also so
Checkers.
good.
I don't think I've
That's
ever
another
had
good.
anything from Checkers, but I know what it is. I've seen
Yeah,
it.
I love me some Checkers. But that's burger talk. But yes, I really do love living out here. I've been out here for over 2 years now, which is crazy because at this point I've lived here longer than I lived in New York.
Is the traffic as
So
bad as people say? Like, is it as
oh,
bad as here?
absolutely.
Well, here's traffic
Absolutely.
is just like crazy. People are crazy up here, but.
And it's also just so much smaller. Like the fact that there's traffic everywhere in this freaking city at all times. Yeah, the traffic is quite bad. And like I grew up like, in the DMV. Like I was like, I know traffic. Like I know rush hour. Like that's fine. But it's like out here, there are like 7 lanes of traffic and every single one of them is backed up. And you're like, what the fuck are we doing here?
No,
What
because
are
you
we
sit there and you watch and you're like, if everyone just moves, like if
Right.
nobody stopped, we would be moving right now.
Right.
My favorite
Right.
is when you pass by, like when there's like something on the side of the road or like someone is stopped or there's an accident and it's not even on your side of the road, but everyone has to slow down to watch it happen. Like,
The
watch whatever is
rubbernecking.
going on. So then
It'll be
you're
the
just like,
rubbernecking.
we're stopped. It's not even blocking us. We can go. You can drive. But of course everyone slows down. So then it's backed up for miles.
Yeah, it's quite heinous. It's the rubbernecking of it all will absolutely be the death of me. And that's just, yeah, that's the cross you have to bear among some other things about living out here. But I genuinely do love it. I am so glad I moved out here and I'm so excited to, see what is to come of me being out here. But yeah, I am a big convert.
I used to, when I was a kid, for some reason, I had some vendetta against California for no reason. I was like,
So did I.
I will never live in California. Why? I don't know. I have no reason. I've never been. I don't know anything about the state. It's huge. It's got a coast. It's gonna, disappear in 100 years. And I
The
literally
same
was like, I will
way.
never live there. And then I visited for those 2 weeks, and I was like, ah.
I moved here for work and because the office I was working with was based out here, but I was still quarantining with my family in Virginia, and so I was working West Coast hours, and the show I was working on, which was The First Lady, which is a Showtime series, it was just like a really, really crazy project, and so I was working basically from like noon to 10 p.m. and I was like, oh, that's not a way to live. So I moved out here because I didn't really have anything keeping me at home other than like not paying rent. And at that point, I was pocketing so much money. I was like, I can afford to move out, you know, to LA. And I was the same way. Like, I was just like, I was an East Coast girly through and through. I was like, West Coast, like, has nothing to it. Like, I'm moving there for work, but I'm not moving there because I want to. But I guess we'll see, like, what happens. But it was the best decision I ever made. So,
I'm
yeah.
hoping that something will take me out to LA is what I'm hoping at some point.
Yeah, let's manifest that.
Yeah, that's what I was like, we're booking something out there. But also like LA, I got my best haircut like ever. I went to like a stylist out there, celebrity stylist. I was like, this is the best haircut that I've ever gotten. And if I have to spend this much money to get a haircut, I might do it. Like, I might do it.
Yeah, I get that. It really is a different, it's a different world out here, especially compared to New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've definitely, if I haven't come to appreciate it, I at least come to understand it more.
Okay, so this podcast is called I'll Drink to That, which, as most folks know, is, I mean, people say that all the time, but also a Sondheim reference. So I have to bring up Sondheim at least once during the
Okay,
podcast.
please do.
So my question is, do you have a favorite Sondheim show or quote or song or any fun facts that you may know about the man?
I so okay, my favorite Sondheim musical is in fact Sweeney Todd. I've loved me some Sweeney Todd. I was in a production of it in college and undergrad, and you would think that would have ruined the show for me, but in fact it has only fed the addiction. I love Sweeney Todd. I think it's such a crazy story and such incredible music, and the cast always knock it out of the park. And yeah, that's my for sure my favorite musical of his work. And I actually recently saw USC, they did a production of Sondheim on Sondheim. So it's my first time like seeing that show. Which like I didn't really know what I was getting into. I was just like Sondheim on Sondheim means something, but I don't know. And in fact it is just a musical review. But I learned so much about his life through that, obviously. Like there are so many, I don't know how it's usually done. I don't know if this was like a different take on the musical, but like, you know, in between the songs, like it was like footage of Sondheim and like the various like interviews and things that he you know, that he sat on or sat through, just like sharing details about his life. And I just learned so much about him, and it made me appreciate not just his work, but I think the work in general of just like lyricists and musicians and composers, and just how brilliant their minds are. Even if like they don't write a hit, even if like they don't, you know, even if they aren't wildly successful, like having that ability is something that is so stunning to me. So yeah, big, I was a really big fan of like that musical, and like the production was honestly great. So like shout out to them, the USC students who were in it. And yeah, I think like even though I love Sweeney Todd, I feel like the song that I keep going back to is Being Alive. Like I feel like that song just keeps changing meaning, like the older that I get and listen to it, it just it's so deeply personal, and it means something different to everyone. But I really appreciate that about that song.
Are you gonna come back to see the Sweeney revival?
I would love nothing more. Like the fact that Sweeney and Parade are both on Broadway at the same time, like this season's programming was for me.
Parade's wonderful.
I love Parade so much, and I've been dying for a revival of it. And so when it was at City Center, I was like, this is it, this is it. So yeah, I would give anything to see both of those productions, and like it is my hope that when I eventually make my way to the city this year, that I'll be able to put my little tush in a seat and be blown away by these productions. So yeah, I definitely want to.
Last two questions.
Yeah.
As you can also say no to this, because I know you literally are a coach. For people who are in the business as actors or people who wanting to go into casting or coaching, do you have any advice? Do you have any words?
I mean, of course I have words.
What do you want to give out for free?
I know, right? Yeah, I would say, I have two separate things to say. So if you're someone who's like already like in the thick of it and trying to like work your way through this industry, first I would say you're amazing, you're brave, like you are doing something I could never do, and I applaud you for the efforts that you're putting into your craft and putting into yourself. It's really incredible, and we so appreciate it. Even if we can't always share that, we so appreciate the work that you're doing. So thank you. And then I guess as far as advice, there's so many different things to touch on and so many different facets of the business versus the craft of it all. But I guess in general, just I would hope that you can remind yourself that it is not a race. There are so many forces working against you in this business, where it is about how you present yourself, how you like what your lived experience is, who you know. There are so many forces working against you. So at the very least, you can give yourself the gift of time. It takes time to learn the craft. It takes time to learn more about yourself and how that affects the work that you do and the work that you want to do and the work that you respond to. So please don't feel like you're in any kind of rush, or that you are, racing against time, because that is simply not true. Everyone's path is different. Everyone's, journey is different. And the more that you can trust yourself and get to know yourself and what it is that you want and what it is that you respond to and what kind of artist you want to be and what kind of person you want to be, that's really what's going to pay off in the end. So please be kind to yourself in that regard. And then for people who have never acted before and are interested in acting, like, my first thing is look into what's in your own backyard. What regional theater is happening? What casting offices are near your, area, like in the closest city? How can you take advantage of what is in your community before you think about a big move to a bigger city?
Nice.
And that's what I got.
Some good advice.
I tried.
Okay, and then last question, which I end every podcast with. What is your drink of choice? Depending on what, I always tell people, like, what is your cocktail of choice? But I know not everyone drinks. So if you're not a drinker, if you're not a alcoholic beverage person.
I do drink alcohol, but I honestly am really not that big of a drinker. It's not like, it's like fine and I'll do it. But like, honestly, the happiest that I can ever be with a beverage is a lemonade. If it's like a flavored lemonade, we're even more in the money. But like, nothing hits more for me than like a nice, cold, slightly tart lemonade. Oh God, nothing better.
Are you a lavender lemonade person?
I'm actually more of like a pink lemonade or a raspberry lemonade. Like raspberry lemonade, that's my girl. That's okay. My girl for real. Mm-hmm.
When I was up there in LA, like all I did was I ordered lavender lemonades. I was like, one of these has to be great because one of them is going to be made by real lavender. It's like not going to be the weird like pump version. It's going to be like someone stood in the back and made their own lavender simple syrup, and now they're putting it in the lemonade.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
I ever found it.
Yeah, I love that journey for you. I feel like lavender is a flavor that I tussle with because I feel like I should love lavender on principle because I love the color lavender. So I'm like, so the taste should obviously be great. And every single time I've tried something with lavender, I'm like, this is not what I expected. And I don't know if I like
It is
it.
a very, I also think it tastes much different than it smells. Whereas like most things, like you smell it and you're like, yeah, I know exactly what I'm about to taste. But lavender is a little different. Lavender like is a little bit of a jump scare, to be completely honest.
Jump scare is a great way to put it. Yeah, I feel like with my lemonade flavors, I'm a little bit more basic than like I don't need something like an elaborate like flavor to it. Like truly a regular schmegular lemonade will like like the Simply Lemonade hits for me. Like
Are
I don't
those the
need
ones in
the
the bottles and you like, yeah, and they have like little fun facts or something, right? No,
That's
that's
Snapple.
Snapple.
Simply is like, I mean, it's literally like the basic ass like lemonade that
Right.
you'll see at like a CVS or like a Duane Reade or something like
Yeah.
that. It'll always be Simply.
Were you a lemonade stand kid? As like, did you do a lemonade stands?
No. That is not the kind of labor that I saw for myself as a child. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. I would absolutely. I don't think like my neighborhood was very much like of that kind of like upper middle class, like some kind of someone's child would certainly do something like that. But I honestly don't think I ever saw it in real life. But if I did, I would certainly give them my hard-earned quarter for a little cup of lemonade.
I think I did it like once and we bought the like, what is the, like, it's like powdered. It was like crystal something or
Yeah,
whatever.
Crystal Light,
Yeah.
or
People paid for it. I think I made like 10 bucks.
Oh my God, big
It
spender.
was a big, it was a big day for a little like 6-year-old me and my
Oh,
lemonade stand. Okay,
precious.
well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I
Thank you for
will
having me.
put all of your information below, but do you want to like say your ats and all of that website, whatever you want to?
Sure. All the details about my coaching business, from the services I offer to the pricing, can be found on Instagram at Coaching by Binta. I am currently like doing a lot of work right now between my jobs, so my bookings are not completely up to date. But if you have any questions, you can always email me at coachingbybinta@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram, and be happy to set you up.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. That was I'll Drink to That with Binta. I hope you all enjoyed. Next week we have Jumin Wang on the podcast, who is currently in Anne Juliet, so please stick around for that. Look out for that next week. And yeah, stay classy. Enjoy your sip of whatever life gives you. All right, bye.